Okay, we're on Ayin, page Ayin Gimel. Avodah zu hi achein lo pshuta. It's very hard. The whole avodah that we're talking about is very hard, since it requires constant repetition and working on it time after time, and it's not a popular thing to do. It says yishlach shav alfei pa'am machshav zu bilvad bli shum guz mamamish, that a person should think about this thousands of times, all of the time, to try to go over this. These machshavas that we're talking about, these thoughts about that a person can have and work on this, even when he's just sitting at, you know, at a bus stop and waiting for, or for anywhere, the couple of seconds that he's able to think, to concentrate. It doesn't happen from today till tomorrow. Being very patient and careful. With this awareness and this understanding that this is how we can make a difference. This is how a person speaks to the heart. To be able to bring that point deep into the heart that there's a creator. So we're talking now, coming to Pesach. Pesach, the Yontif of Pesach is the Yontif of Emunah. When the Baruch Shalom was Megalat us, that the Baruch Shalom told us that there's no other time of the year that has as much, there's where as the Mesugal, it's as strong and is open to for the children to hear Diburim, words of Emunah from their parents. Like Pesach night, the Torah says, "Ki yishalcha bincha machalim." Your children are asking, "If you got levincha," and to tell the children. So what the tzaddik here explains is that it's not just talking to the children outside of us. Not everybody has children. Sometimes they're older children, and they're not there. But that inside of each and every one of us, there's a child, and that the same way that the child. When we were little children, we only understood and appreciated things that were spoken to us clearly and directly and were repeated time after time. Even now that we've grown up, that child inside of us depends upon the pashtus, the clarity, the simplicity, and the repetition, the way the children are taught. Because we never really uncovered this part inside of ourselves of Amunah. And we never really taught it. We never taught it and we never learned it. So he says, Hine kisha'odam, Yoshev Mlamniz Benoha is Isis Aleph Beis. When you're teaching a child the letters of the Aleph Beis, the Yochel Hashavasim Afil Chatzi Shah Vashah, it's possible to sit for half hour, even an hour, Lashanin Shuva Shuva Isis, to go over the letters of the Aleph Beis, over and over the letters, Pam Va'id Pam, one time, another time. The Messinas Ubisavlanas, Ain Kates, with unbelievable patience, with infinite patience, to help your child till he learns the letters of the Aleph Beis. Ad Shadvarm Yikaltu B'maycha Shel HaBen HaOv, until the letters of the Aleph Beis become absorbed in the mind of the child that you love. Vav Shahayeda Shel HaOv Uberama Harbe Yaisigavai Milimad Isis, even though you would say that this should be an unbelievably difficult and boring thing for the father to do, since the father's level of knowledge is much, much higher than the letters of the Aleph Beis. And if someone told him to sit in the room and they just gave him a book with the Aleph Beis in it, he would go out of his mind. What would he do? After 10 seconds, he's finished. He read the Aleph Beis. What's there to do? He knows the Aleph Beis. Nevertheless, but to teach it to the child, to teach it to his son, he has the ability to do that, and he has the patience to do that. Why? Because the father understands, he recognizes that the child is just starting, that the child is little. And therefore, I have to teach this child on the level that he's on. Which is the inyan of Lel Pesach also, but since it's it can't get more inyan at the yomer than now, Lel Pesach. But the Chassam Sofer, it's brought down in the Svarim, that the Chassam Sofer, when he had the Seder, Chassam Sofer, the only thing that he said was he would translate the Haggadah into Mamaloshin, into Yiddish for the women, for the children. And the Chassam Sofer spoke many times against using the Seder as an opportunity for the Yeshiva Bachim to show off what they know and to say Pilpulim and to do all kinds of Torahs and to say things that are fancy and interesting and all of that, which is could be that a person's not even Yotze, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Ratzon Hashem is that Davka, the story be told in a very simple and straightforward way. Anything else, Pilpulim, after the Seder or during the days of Yontif or Chol HaMoed, so then that's wonderful to sit around and to talk and learning. But the Seder night, B'Shum Eifin, is not to be spent with children, drawing them a cup and making the women nervous, the things that they don't understand, and everybody's hungry and everybody's tense. We see from the Tzaddikim that the Anahoga by the Lel Seder was an absolute pashtus, just to try to tell over the story and to make it clear and to say over Midrashim and not to make it difficult for them to hear. And Bechlal, the whole Indian, there's a drosha of the Chassam Sofer that the Chassam Sofer says that they really, you see, the whole Seder of the Chinuch now in the Yeshiva is not the way it used to be. They didn't teach them in the old days all the things about the Seder before Pesach, the children. They would come because they should come to the Seder and they should be. You see, the whole Seder is designed that the children should ask questions. What child comes now with questions? The child comes with all the answers, right? But it's not the Derech HaChinuch. Chassam Sofer said, wrote the Farish in his drush, that the whole tachlis is that the Torah is makbid davke, not yochem reish chedesh tamaloy b'yomahu. Yibayomahu, when? B'shosh yesh, b'shosh yamatzah, mor menachem lefanachem. Pesach, that's menachem lefanachem. Yochem reish chedesh. The Chassam Sofer says, you might think that you should start to learn with the children all the things about Pesach from reish chedesh. Tamaloy b'yomahu. You start to learn with them when? By the Seder. Because then they're excited, they're interested. Not that they're, for the last month in school, that they're filling up books and paintings and talking. The whole thing is new. There never was such a thing in Klai Yisrael. The less Yirat Shamayim there is, the more these new things, these newfangled ways of getting the kids to think about Yiddishkeit. So they're not learning with them parasha. They're not doing anything else. They're doing them the Seder for 2 weeks. Each one comes with a big book. The father has a mitzvah of Sipolitzia design. The kid sees the father doesn't know much. The kid knows more than the father. The kid's got 25 vetlach with pictures. The father maybe spent 7 minutes looking up a vart or two. And the father sits there listening to the kid tell over the story he says and say to him. And anything the father says, the kid says, it's an alta maisa. I already heard that. He did that already. He did that 6 weeks ago. It's nothing. That's a whole v'nahapechu. The whole Seder of Lel Pesach is a v'nahapechu. That's what Chassam Sofer says in the Joshes. Yochan Reish Chesh Tamad Leim Abba Yemahu. The kid shouldn't be hearing about Pesach until the Seder. I mean, you tell him to clean up his room, you tell him to get rid of his things and his desk. But other than that, it's not the whole thing that they have now. It's v'nahapechu. It's to show that the teachers prepared them and that they did stuff and the parents are getting their money's worth or something, whatever it is, but it's not chinuch the way that it used to be. The Baruch Shalom wanted that they should come into Pesach wondering what's going on. And to come to the Seder with a feeling of excitement and amazement. Does it mean nothing? How it should be done? But you see, this is how you teach children. That's what he's explaining. When you realize that the child is little, you have to teach the child on his level. A person is able to sit down and to teach the children the simplest things. It doesn't have to be complicated. To be the simplest things to explain. Things that are absolutely clear to the father, that he explains to the child in a very clear way, just like we explain the aleph beis. You don't say to the kid, you imagine you're sitting with the kid, it's an aleph, but it's a machloikis, maybe it's not an aleph. What do you say to your kid? You're teaching your kid aleph beis. He's sitting with him, and you open the sefer, the aleph beis book, and you show him, and he asks you, daddy, what's that, tati, what's this? And you say, maybe it's an aleph. I don't know, I'm not sure. So that's what the children hear when you sit at the table He said, to say then, you start telling him all kinds of interesting inyanim that you're interested in, and maybe some older guys are interested in, but the children of Dar Shaykhs too. Everything is a machlaikis. What does this mean? What does that mean? That today is a machlaikis like this and the whole like that? Yeah. The Rebbeinu Shel wants this should be pashtus. Should be simple and clear. Ain b'ham kol nekudah safek. B'zman ha'limud ha'ben shol she'elus l'kan l'kan. The father is able to sit with the child, and the child is asking all kinds of questions. And the father explains patiently. Because he knows that if he doesn't tell his child clearly, he'll never know the material, and it won't be clear to him unless he spends the time and he's patient. Therefore, even though the father is busy, and even though this he knows all this stuff, it's nothing new to the father. But he repeats it over and over in a clear way so that the child will be able to understand, and it'll be something that will remain with the child.
Yes. Now that the children are coming home with it, is it better to let them say a couple of...
Yeah, don't let them say a little bit. I always tell the children, because they're so excited, they come with their things, their books, so you can't, God forbid, make them feel unaccomplished so that it was a waste of chas v'shalom. So you have to machshev it very, very much. It's gewaldig. And that each one says a few minutes, a little bit, and then we're going to do over the whole yontif and chol hamoed. We're going to set aside time. All the years, this is what we did. Set aside time every day chol hamoed. We're going to do more. In the last days of Pesach, we'll do more. That each one should be able to feel excited that they're contributing. But the chinuch is all a chinuch that's backwards. It should be that the children are coming to hear, to listen. So Maisa, the Belzer Rebbe, the Bisacher Be'er, the Belzer Rebbe, that, you know, we have all these things to say the Lo Pesach to do that are different, so that the children should ask, right? That's why we do these things. So the Belzer Rebbe he lifted up the car nice and high, and he made a big deal with the carpets and his son. And his son, because there's a Pshila, Rabaral was his son. So Baral didn't ask anything. And like it wasn't working. It says Kadesh Yishalo Tinoikis, that the children, like all the instructions said, that the children should ask. So he's doing all these things, and they didn't come back from Cheder with all this stuff, you know. Right? And his and the little Aril is watching everything, and Magun, she's not asking. So finally, the Rebbe says to him, don't you find anything questionable in what I'm doing? But so he says it's all everything that Tati's doing is strange. So how come you don't ask? Because I was makalim myself that everything that Tati does is right. So I never ask. That's right. That's a madrega for a little child. The reason they're out children is because they're makabel, everything is wrong. So he's doing stuff. He always does mother things. He's always contradicting himself. My father says he's a shami mitzvah, and he goes to shul, and I see him talking in shul. So kadesh yishalot tinaikis, right? So what? You do something modern, so your child's supposed to ask, man, nishtana, how come at home you talk so, how it's so important to daven, and we're going to shul, such an important thing, and then when you come to shul, you spend half the time talking, man, nishtana. Like the Chassam Sofer said a famous thing, how come sukkahs, there's no kashas? It's the funniest thing, though. You're sitting outdoors, so how come there are no kashas? Manishtana, only by Pesach. So Chassam Sofer said, because Jews are so used to being kicked out of their homes and sent into Golos that the children grew up with that. But that we should sit with all beautiful things on the table, and it's quiet, and there's delicious food ready, cooking in the kitchen. So that, a Jew asks, Manishtana, Laila, that's strange, that's odd. So the children should see that, they should feel excited that there's something different, there's something exciting about it. When we were children, they would teach us a lot of the gunam of the Haggadah. We used to sing songs in school from the Haggadah, a lot of songs. But they didn't teach us Pshat Lechem. We didn't have a whole thing with a lot of Pshat Lechem. We did some coloring and songs. I'm not sure if I remember, but it wasn't like a...
Manal Seder.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what it was. But But to see that it's different and to feel excited about it, that there's some mystery, there's something there that's mysterious. And then when it comes to the Seder, to talk to the children in a clear way, to explain things in a clear way. So you see that this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to teach our children. And when we understand that we're teaching a child, we have infinite patience because we know that the child doesn't know and the child needs to hear it in a very clear way. So what the tzaddik here is explaining is that that's exactly how we have to teach ourselves, the same way. Olav lahak yeshaboy atzmai yeshnam shnei chalokim. A Jew has to know that inside of himself there are two parts that are far away from each other, like heaven and earth. Man's intellect, the seichel, that's one madrega. What you and I know, so we know a lot of things, but that's one madrega. But the heart, that something should become engraved and clear to the heart and felt in the heart, it's a totally separate world. When a person understands that between his mind and his heart there's a tremendous distance, there's a huge gap, and the fact that he knows something doesn't mean that he feels it, but that it's part of him. Then he knows that to teach the heart of a person is like a little boy, that to teach the heart these basic things is a very, very chashuv avoda. To teach the heart. And teaching the heart is not the same way with the mind. The mind hears something once. If he's an intelligent person, he chaps it, and then he's bored. He wants to go on to something else. But the heart needs it more and more. That's why when it comes to reading, like I told you, Purim time, when it comes to reading a business letter, you get a business letter. If you're an intelligent person, you read the business letter, you understand what it's saying, and you act upon that, and you go weiter. But if somebody receives a love letter, a chasm kala, right, receives a love letter, so how come they don't just read it once and throw it in the garbage? They read it 10 times, and then they save it, and they like to take it out maybe a year or two later. When it's a letter that, even if it has only a remez of ahava, a hint of love, the person will take it out 10 times and read it, and will hold on to it, and will be very, very upset if it got thrown out. Why is that? So we spoke then that we see that Megillas Esther is not called Megillah. In the Megillah, it's called Igeres HaPurim, the Purim letter. It's not called an Igeres HaPurim. Because in order that the heart should be able to feel something, it's not enough to read it once. You have to chazer, anachem al chazer, again and again and again. That it should be something that mamish sinks deeply into you. And you want to hear it, and you want to feel it. When someone sends you a letter about how much they love you, a kala, a chasen sends a letter, how much they love each other. So again, I'm only talking about things that are done obviously in an appropriate way. I'm just using it as a muscle. But when someone sends to someone that they love a very, very beautiful love letter, so then even though the seichel understands it, but from the seichel to the heart, there's a million miles. And the person wants that it should be felt, not just understood. So that's why they don't take it and throw it in the garbage. And if the girl saw, the kala saw you, the second you got it, she was looking to see how you're reading the letter, and she wanted you to read it again and kiss it and cry. And instead you read the letter, you go, uh-huh, and you throw it in the garbage. And she says, that's what you do with the letter? I sent you that my whole heart I sent you. He said, oh, I read it. Yeah, it's beautiful. I understand. So then she better find some other chaz, right? Because he doesn't understand at all. He might understand it with his head, but that's not where she wrote the letter from. She wrote the letter from her heart. The same way the Baruch Shalom gave us his Torah. It says, Anoichi is the oasis, Ano, Nafshi, Ksavis, Yehovah. The Baruch Shalom says, I wrote the word Anoichi, Shalmakech. Anoichi, Chazal say, the Aleph is Ana, I, Navshi, my soul, Ksavis, I wrote to you in this Torah, in this letter, the Torah, Yehovah, and I gave it to you. The Torah is a love letter from the Baruch Shalom. So we read it over and over and over again. What a guy understands what it means by us, Simchas Torah, that we finished the letter, and then right away you start it again. Right? You finish and you start it again. Someone just told me yesterday that he was, that Rav Nevinsal, you know, from Yerushalayim, Rav Nevinsal was Rav Shlomo Zalman's Chavrus. He's a big tzaddik of Nevinsal. that recently he made a siyum. He made a 64th siyum on Shas. So he finished. He finished the end of Nida. So he ended up Nida, and he made the Hadron. There was a big Hadron over there, and he finished up. And then when he finished the second that he finished, and he made the Hadron, so he was whispering. He was mumbling, and somebody leaned over next to him. And he was mumbling the first Mishnah in Brachas. He was starting Brachas again. The second that he finished, everybody's singing and having a good time, and he's saying over the Mishnah Brachas. He's connecting the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah, which is what we do every simplest Torah. When we finish Isa Brach, we start Bereishis. Because it's a love letter. So as many times as you read it, again. You just when you finish reading, you take it out and you read it again. Because the Baruch Shalom said, Ana nafshi k'savas Yehovah, I wrote to you my heart, I gave you my heart, is in the Torah. It's not a book. It's a love letter. Ana nafshi k'savas Yehovah. That's what it means. And therefore, when you want to explain something to the heart, it's not enough just to say it once or twice. Then it should become mamish part of you. It's over and over and over and over again. That's why you have such a problem of communication very often between a chas and kala, husband and wife. So she's waiting to hear some nice words from the husband. The husband said, I told you 27 years ago, I told you how much I love you. How many times do you want me to tell you? So he doesn't understand. It's not a question of havana, of seichel, of understanding seichel. She understands. And it's not seichel, because there's from heaven to earth, so it's something in the heart. Same thing when you're teaching the child Aleph base. It's a very intelligent child. And the child, you say Aleph. The kid says Aleph. So that's all. It doesn't mean it becomes part of the child. It's nachamal, nachamal. That's what it means. And then a person realizes how important it is for that person to hear those words again and again and again, not just one time. So he explains on page Ayin Hey. Yidur diver Chazal, binyan malosim atzuma shel malamdei hatinoikis. Chazal have such a gewaldige thing to say in praise of malamdei hatinoikis, in praise of rabbis, of teachers, of little children. The Gemara says, on them the pasuk matzdikei harab ki kachavim la'olam ve'ed. Those who are called matzdikei harab, that bring the many to righteousness. In other words, that teach Torah to Yiddish kinder, the Jewish children, the Gemara says, they shine forever like stars. Eilam lamdi tanaik, as the Gemara says. These are the teachers of little children. So it doesn't only mean somebody who's a Rebbe in Cheder. It means each and every one of us is a Rebbe for our own hearts. You should know that when you're trying to teach yourself and you're chasing over Yesh Baril, there's a creator of the world. He created me. I don't come from nowhere. I come from the Baruch Shalom. And Yechazeh again and again and again. That's like teaching your own heart. It's like being a Rebbe in Cheder. The Gam Olav Ne'amar, Matzdikei Harab, Kachavim La'olam Ve'ed. The Baruch Shalom considers such a person like a star, mamish. Zuhi Havayda, Ve'ev Shalami Ikra Havayda, She'odam Lekech, Esachachma Ve'sabina Shalai. This is the greatest Havayda of a Jew in the world. To take one's intellect, one's intelligence, the chachma and bina shalai, v'doig lagi imam ladas, and how do I take what I know, and how do I make it part of my heart, part of my life? The yidias halev, that my heart should feel it. Shalev yovenis advarv, that the heart should understand this. Im adam ein apel b'tzurik azu, if a person doesn't go this way, then lamahu daima, then what's he like? L'adam shalnoilad loy ben b'siyayta d'shmaya, a person so excited he had a little boy. B'shoshu noilad hu ein amadaba. Of course, as a baby, as an infant, he doesn't talk. The father is very excited, he's waiting. She yigdol ma'at, for his son to grow up a little bit. Chalfesh nasayim mishalosh. So a couple of years go by, and the kid's talking already by now a lot. Begil arba. And he waits until the child is 4 years old. Now the kid is able to speak in a very clear and a very good way. So the father, it's now time for him to teach him what? So maschalav l'lamed oisai zayar. So he says, okay, finally my kid can talk in a clear way. And he opens up and he starts to teach him Zohar Kaddish. Like, you know, everybody, the kid says, Mommy, he says, Daddy, there's a friend of mine that has taught this kid to say E equals MC squared. He taught him that. So he would say, you know, in front of other people, he'd say, Yankel, Yankel, so he'd go E equals MC squared. And I'll give everyone this ball from that. So you take a little boy and you teach him Zohar. Salam alo, l'toein. So the father, so someone said, what are you out of your mind? What are you teaching him Zohar? So why not? Why not? He says, im hu yoch ladaber, he's able to speak. We can learn together. Ask l'lam da Zohar, I'll teach him Zohar. He's able to repeat what I'm saying. I say a few words from the Zohar, and I say to Moshe, and he says it's very good. He can repeat exactly what I say from the Zohar. That's our whole davening, since we're little kids, that's how we daven. Our whole Yiddishkeit is like this. It's like the Zohar Kodesh. What you think, the Siddur is less mysterious to us than the Zohar Kodesh. And what we're saying, he says, Imkein, ani akra kol milik shksuva b'zohar v'yach zohar. I'll say whatever it says in the Zohar, and my kid will repeat after me the Zohar. I borrow poshit, it's a called by das. Any intelligent person knows. Shein shum yachas ben masha ben akotn oimer. That there's absolutely no relationship, there's no connection between what that kid is saying. But the kid's saying E equals MC squared. He doesn't understand Einstein's theory of relativity. Or in the kid Lahavdil saying a shtickle Zoya that his father is saying he repeats over a piece of Zoya. There was a mice like that. There was a boy that was born in Yerushalayim. It's a mice pack with a barrel from Bells. There was a little boy that was born in Yerushalayim. He was born in Yerushalayim, or I don't know where he was born, Bnei Brak, someplace over there. He was born. And from the time he started to talk, he was saying over Shasana, he was saying over Zohar Kodesh, he was saying over everything by heart, little kid. And they didn't know what to do with him. They were afraid. Obviously, it was something strange. From the time that he started to talk, they never taught him any of these things. He was saying over everything, about saying over. And in more than one language, he was saying over things. So the Maisa, what I read was that there was a pachet in the whole, it was a big pachet. And a few people went to speak to the child, and he was just sitting there, rattling off Zoyas and everything. So they took him to the Belzer Rebbe, and the Belzer Rebbe went with him into a room, and he took it away from him. The child came out, the normal child. It came out from the room, but whatever, the Rebbe took it away from him, that he should be normal. He was just saying it, even though it was whatever that was, whatever neshama was that occupied this kid. But it wasn't. Huh?
I know the person.
Really? You know the person?
Yeah, he had a child in my class, yeah.
I heard this mice a long time ago. Really, wow. So that's what they say. There was such, and the Belzer Rebbe took away from him this Indian because it's not healthy. That's not the way to learn. That wasn't the normal thing.
Malach didn't give him the patches.
Some of the Malach he got through. He missed. Yeah, he missed. Most of us got beat. not just a little patch. Now they got beaten and kicked, and then sometimes even later on in cheder also you get it. But that's not the way to teach a child. We start to say to him, piece of Zohar. He can say the words. So it's the same thing. Our whole Yiddishkeit is like that. He says that there's no connection between what this kid is saying, with the meaning of what he's saying. There's no connection. It's like a parakeet. It's a parakeet, just repeats. They could also say it. The bird could also say it. Who chayzer alayim just chazes over. I will have one sichlis berach advar. But to really understand, look, if we really understood what Asher, those words Asher Yisrael v'sechem mean, what does it mean? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If we understood, I don't mean understood al pi kabbalah. To understand just this simple truth, to think about it, and it should be part of us. Our whole davening would be a different davening. Our lives would be completely different lives. All the choices that we make in our lives would be different. So we're like a parakeet. So at some point they said, say over these words. What words? Asher Yisrael V'Yisechem, Nachamal, Asher Yisrael V'Yisechem, that's it. And the rest of your life, you're like a parakeet. That's why you can do other things while you're saying the words. You can do other things while you're saying the words. Even though we're not Rogat Shavuos, how is it possible to do something else while you're saying those words? The Teretz is. Because you're just saying like a parakeet. The parakeet, while he's saying those words, could do other things too. He could nibble at a piece of food. He can go to the bathroom. Anything he wants. While he's saying over Tysus. If you repeat the Tysus to the parakeet, he'll say over the Tysus. Whatever you repeat, he'll say over. If you say it enough times. But to understand something, I feel him in the malice, ain't like. The child doesn't understand even the most basic. He has no understanding b'chlal of what the Zohar means. His understanding is, of course, very shaky. It doesn't have any. It doesn't understand it. Kshigia adam lahakarish etfisas alev shalahu baramashal ben katan achayza ketuki al divrei aviv. When we're honest enough to admit, and it dawns upon us, that as far as our heart is concerned, how much Yiddishkeit do we have in our heart? Not our brain. The brain you can say with you can say in the middle of your sleep, Ashi Shabbat, not that. But how much of Yiddishkeit is a part of you? that you feel, that it's inside of you, mamish. And when you and you're honest enough to admit that you're no different than a little child that's like a, that's repeating something like a parakeet that just says it over, I'll divvy over, that's just repeating what your father said. I used to have this all the time because my kid went to cheder, my son went to cheder, so they teach for them in Yiddish, and he doesn't in my house we didn't speak Yiddish to him, but they're teaching in Yiddish, and they didn't so he would come home and I'd read inside of them. And I said, what does it say? It says, eights. What's an eights? He says, a boim. I said, what's a boim? I don't know. So, ma'ahu ilu chacham b'takanasam. I asked the Rebbe, like, you know, when so I said, teach them Yiddish. And they understand, but what do you say? It's an eights, it's a boim. So he doesn't know what this is, doesn't know what that is. So it's going to come. Wouldn't be able to do it, but they expect that the children should be able to do it. But it doesn't mean anything to him. He says, it's an eights, it's a boim. Doesn't mean anything. So a whole Yiddish guy. So then you buy the siddur that has the translation in it. So then you say it's now you understand. But you also don't know. You don't, that doesn't mean that you brought it into your heart. So now you read in the siddur and he says, "Ash shrei v'secha." So how fortunate are those who dwell in God's house? It's just like a parakeet. So he's saying the words. How fortunate are those who dwell in God? And you know when you first get that siddur with English, it looks so exciting. You get to know the transliteration and the line by line, word by word. And each time you say, "Ah, now I'm going to have kavanah." You see that after 2 days, and also it's like nothing. Doesn't mean anything because that's not the problem. It's good to understand the words, but that's not the problem. Our boobies didn't understand the word. Our bobbies, they didn't understand the word, but they were able to cry when they were saying it. Because the problem is not just in understanding the words. It's to bring it into the heart, to the heart, to the heart. To make it something which is clear and felt, which is the whole safe. We're going to be learning more and more how to do this, slowly. So he says, but otherwise, the kid, he says, our Yiddish kind, it's never part of the heart. Ah, you can repeat it. You can repeat everything you learn. You're smart, you know. This halacha, you know that halacha? So I was someplace at a shiva recently, and there was a whole, I didn't know the all the family, I just knew one person, and there was a woman that was sitting at the shiva, and she was saying over like Mishnah Brewers and stuff, and different things. They were talking in halacha, and she was sitting, saying over Mishnah Brewers, and I found that afterwards that this woman who's sitting shiva, she's married to someone that's not Jewish. She's married to someone that's not Jewish. One of the she's a member of the family. She married someone who's not Jewish. She went to Beis Yaakov when she was younger, and she knows a lot, and she likes to talk about it, and she enjoys talking about Yiddishkeit, and she's married to a guy. So she knows everything, but it didn't prevent her from never from making that mistake, or from putting an end to that mistake by leaving. That's what it is. If your whole Yiddishkeit is like a parakeet. That you're just repeating something that you heard. So you can repeat over and over. You heard it 1,000 times. Don't marry a guy. Don't marry a guy. But when it comes down to it, and you're lonely, and there's a nice person, and you get along, and you meet it in college someplace, so then, you know. What happened to the parakeet? The parakeet would also marry a guy. And he asked the parakeet, I understand. I heard you say 10,000 times, don't marry a guy. Don't marry a guy. Then you say to the parakeet, and you went to heaven, you married it. You married a guy, what's wrong with you? So the parakeet, look at you, what are you listening? You're a bigger Meshuggah than I am. Do I know what it means, a guy? I don't know what a guy is, I don't know what a Jew is. You're telling me, I said over the words, don't marry a guy. No. I said over the words, for the last 20 years, you're telling me these words, I heard the words. That happened to a lot of the Chavra that were growing up, they just heard the words, that didn't mean anything. But this should be part of you. And that's why I say, so on a different level, thank God, not like that, but on a different level, she could say, you know, don't look at this, don't talk about that, don't. And the children repeat, they repeat, they repeat. Then when it comes down to it, you find out, like many of the parents find out, that my kid's on the internet, my kid has this. And you say, I don't understand. Didn't your Rebbe tell you you're not supposed to do this? This is terrible what you're doing on the internet. Didn't mommy, daddy tell you that? So the kid will say. But I heard, but then he said, but you repeated it 1,000 times. Like, yeah, you made me repeat it. So then how come you went and did it? They don't even know what you're asking Akash. What is your speech have to do with my doing it? It's such a disconnect. Because it was never, ever acquired in the child's heart. Only very, very special teachers, very special rabbis know how to get it mamish into the kishkes. They know how to get it mamish into the kishkes. I know, I meet Talmidim of Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Lavracha, and he did like a number on them. Rav Pam was able to, the ones that I know, Rav Pam like got into their kishkes. You know what I'm saying? It's different. Rav Pam got into their kishkes. He got into them. That's not so often. that a Rebbe gets into your kishkes in such a way that you can't let go of it, you can't forget it, and you feel it, and it makes a difference in your life, and you want to change your life. It could be the biggest market shiur, the smartest person. And there were people that said much fancier shiur than Rav Palm. His shiur dafka wasn't so fancy. And if you read some of the things that they have from Rav Palm, it's very pushed, right? Same thing with Chofetz Chaim. Very pushed. The things that the Chofetz Chaim taught were very pushed. You don't see big chedushim. I'm saying in his Musa, in the Musa's form from Chofetz Chaim, you don't see it. Very pushed. Rav Palm, you don't see there, even though he was a brilliant person, but he dafka gave over things very pushed. Very pushed. But somehow I see that the people that I've met, that they have like from Rav Palm, from having Rav Palm, something was changed. Something happened. I told it to you. I don't know if I told in shul. I told you also that I have a brother-in-law of mine that his father is one of the last of the Talmidim from Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva. Rabbi Yerucham. So my brother-in-law's father is a Jew, Kanina Harris. He's not young, and I remember 2 years ago, I asked him about, can you tell me something? What did you see by Rabbi Yerucham? We grew up, meaning the generation that's 45 and older. So it was the Rebbeim were all Talmidim of these tzaddikim. But the people now, they don't know. The kids don't hear this. I asked him, what did you see by Rabbi Yerucham? So he's got upset, he was on Alta Litvak. So he said, what are you asking me? What are you, the Chassidim always want to know stories. Like he got upset with me. What are you asking me? What do you want? We don't do that. We don't have that. So I said, no, I wasn't asking you for, I'm not asking for any Mipsim and miracles. Tell me something. What did you see by Rabbi Yerucham? I'm not asking for a miracle. Tell me something you saw. Suddenly, a few more times, he went, you don't know anything. What do you know? You don't know anything. I said, why can't you tell me something? So finally, it's that kind of a person. If you know what I'm talking about, that type, they're delicious Jews, those Jews. They're mamish delicious Jews. But they have such a starkheit from their Messiah, but who they learned by. It's like almost like you're asking something so personal. It was very interesting. So he said to me, like this, then he got all of a sudden very intense, and I was standing in the hallway. And he said, come in here. What was he going to do? He said, come in here. I was not standing in the hallway, he said, come in. And he went to the room, and he said, sit down. I sat down, and he sat down next to me. And he said, I'm not going to tell you anything I saw from Rabbi Yerucham, but I'll tell you one thing. He said to me, remember I said this is Shul. He said, did you ever see how they make pickles? Pickles. So I doubt it, because my father always would make our own, he would make cucumbers, he would do it himself, my father, to pickle them. So I said, yeah, I've seen that. He said, that's what Rabbi Yerucham did to us. He pickled us. Ever since we were by him, we can't think, breathe, feel, live like any other normal human being. He did something to all of us. And that was it. Then he just left. And he called me into the room to tell me that, to sit down. That's what happened. All of us who were by Rabbi Yerucham, he did something to us. We just can't look at the world the same way. And he said it 70 years later. It's 70 years. I can't look at the world. He says, you don't think I've tried. I can't look at the world like other people do. Ever since Rabbi Yerucham, everything is different. He pickled us. He put us in something. By the time we got out, we were no longer cucumbers. We were just pickles. And we can't change back to cucumbers. It's a gewaltige Meise, you know that? It's a gewaltige Meise. When you have a Rebbe like that pickles you, and even if you try to get out, you can't get out. You try to change back to being a stupid little kid, and you can't. You can't get back to that because it was so much. It's like what happens with the pickling, with when you carve something. That's even how even in halacha, right?
Kovish.
Kovish means to pickle something. Kovish. What word is it? Kovish. It's a kibush. What's a kibush? It means conquered. A conquest. Because the pickle at this point, the cucumber can't say, you know what? I've had it being a pickle. I don't want to be a cucumber. It's not shy. because you've been totally conquered by pickledness. It's ice cucumber. It's ice cucumber. It's ice cucumber. And once you've been pickled, you can't change anymore. So it means that, like I once told you, that Rabbi Isaac said the tshuva, and he told the Ksais Achayish, and the Ksais asked him what happened, says the Baal Shem Tov was in the, what changed, what did the Baal Shem Tov change? So Rabbi Isaac said the tshuva said, he said, he first had an answer in something, and the Ksais said, nah, that's not an answer. So Rabbi Isaac the tshuva said that it's true that after the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh left the world, people still, Jews still do Averis, but they don't have as much a geshmak like they used to from an Aveir. Before the Baal Shem Tov, you could enjoy an Aveir much more than after the Baal Shem Tov. And he said that about the whole world. That before the Baal Shem Tov, Jews were able to enjoy their Aveiris more. After the Baal Shem Tov was, here, because the Baal Shem Tov did something to the world. Even since someone never heard of the Baal Shem Tov. Of course, only Chassidim, or people who believe the Baal Shem Tov, no, they believe that. Which I believe, Bemuna Shleima, ever since the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was in the world is different. Whether you know or you don't know. Whether you realize or you don't realize, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh changed the world. And that's when it's not something which is in Seichel. What my brother-in-law's father was saying was that there was something that he did, and I'm not going to say over this shmuz or that shmuz, oh, I saw this one time how he davened, or I saw Rabbi Yochum, you know, how he went and shoveled the snow in the middle of the night for the bacham. I'm not saying over anything to you. I'm telling you there's one thing. That there was such a thing that happened to us that anybody that was by Rabbi Yochum was forever changed. Because that means that's something that was the father talking to the son. It was a Pesach night being, it was Leil HaSeder with Rabbi Yochum. Every minute with him was like Leil HaSeder. That's what we have to be for our children. That a child won't have a bechir anymore. That ad kedekach, that the rots of the father is so strong and so clear and so perfect and so sincere that the child can never ever be what he once was. Can never be. He doesn't have it in his bechir to be the way. That's the avoider that he's talking about here, that to do with oneself, with one's own Yiddishkeit, with one's own heart. That's why at the end of the Seder we say Shir Shir. At the end of the Seder, Shir Shir. Shir Shir is also, it's a love letter. In other words, you say over all kinds of things by Pesach, by the Seder, and at the end, what you're saying with Shir Shir is that it's not enough just to explain something and to say over a pshat. Yiddishkeit has to be a shir shir. Children have to grow up seeing that the father's relationship with the Baruch Shalom is shir shir. That the mother's Yiddishkeit is shir shir. And then it's something which has a hemshach beyond Pesach when they grow up. That's what they say that ends with shir shir. A lot of people in America, they don't say shir shir. They're already tired. They just go to sleep. They miss the whole Seder. If you go to sleep Pesach, if you go to sleep on the Seder and you don't say shir shir, then the whole thing's a foul. You ate the matzah, you mekayim all the mitzvahs, but you missed the whole point. The whole point of the Seder is to come to shir shir. Yishakeinim nishiko yispiyah. Ki tovim doidecha miyayin. How do you explain that? You can't explain that. Thus is thus. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. That's when something becomes a part of you. You get pickled. Shir Shim is a big pickle jar. How did that happen? Just it happened. Yes, that's how it happened. But that's when the Emunah is something which becomes mushrush in who you are. In who you are. Otherwise, the whole Yiddishkeit, he says, is like repeating over a piece, Shtiklech of Zayah. That's all. The person has to remember. And in order for this to happen, we're like four lines up from the bottom of the page. Oh, I'm sorry, let's start from that page. Yeah. Kshiagia Adam Lakar Shitfizas Alev Shalahu Biramishal Ben Katna Khazak Tukiadivayov. If ain't can have an us is bad samadover. Once you admit that your whole Yiddishkeit is just repeating things like a parakeet that you heard from your father and from your Rebbe, right? Then Yovin Dove Echad. Then you can begin to understand. Kais Nigla Lain of Ilam Khadish. All of a sudden you see it a new world. All of Lahas Khalumaris. So you see something new and you have to start to learn it. You want to really understand it. You want to really understand it, like when a Baal Tshuva comes to Yiddishkeit. When a Baal Tshuva comes to Yiddishkeit, it's not like you and I, we just take everything and you listen and you say, okay, Shkoyach, after the Drosh, Shkoyach, Baal Tshuva is, what, why, how, what? Not the guy that's from birth, he hears, it's not a Drosh, not a Shkoyach. And that's it, that's the end. Not the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva, everything is 100 kashes. I'm trying to understand and trying to feel it. To bring it in, mamish into the depths of who I am. Hare gam hu atzma b'yose yelud. When you're a child, lamdu shlav ach shlav. You have to learn one step and another step. Madrega ach madrega, one madrega, another madrega. Ad shigila madregas haskola b'hu nimsa kayyam. Until you're able to understand what you do today. Hayyam maschil hu avoida chadosh. At the end of the page. A person today should start a new avoida and avoida Hashem. Yesh lo kiv yochel ben. You have to admit and you have to realize that inside each and every one of us there's a child that has to be taught from Aleph. From Aleph, clear, simple. Repeating, using simple words. Hainu libo, the person's heart. Shumakabal asatoldis min hamarach, that receives from the mind. Tzarech lahaschil lilmait aysai lilmait itai. You have to begin to learn with the heart. Kameshim aschilin lilmait. Imiel had mentioned a sign like you begin with a little boy 2 years old. Because each of the four sons are inside of us. The Chacham, the Rosh, the Tam, and Yedelis, it's all inside of us. Chazal Aymer. Chotna, Yedel Adav, Ovim Lam, the Torah Kriyishma. When the child begins to talk, the father should teach him to say Torah, meaning Torah Tzivu Lamayishim, Kriyishma, Torah Mahi, what does it mean? Torah doesn't say the Zohar. Amar Panun, the Torah Tzivu Lamayishim, Marashah Gilas Yaakov. Why you teach that Pasuk? Torah Tzivu Lamayishim, Marashah Gilas Yaakov. Klaimer anachnu maschilim lelamed es atzmenu kevshuto es oisa nekuda sheeschilu lelamed oisanu veyoisenu pu'utim chasrei das. We have to begin again from what they taught us. And they said to us when we were little children, Torah tziva lana Moshe, Meirasha kihilas Yaakov. Vadei shayikahu lilmeid Torah. Certainly we have to learn Torah in an advanced level. He's not saying we should stop learning all of our learning, doing all of our learning, and then just start talking about these simple things all day. Chas v'shalom, of course you continue learning. Ach yachad em zayis. But together with that, tzarech adam lahachdir lelibay es ha-nekuda ha-pshuta b'yayser. To drive into the heart, the simple nekuda. Vashirosh is b'yayser, sheyachay leliyayis, that is what? Yesh b'yayir ha'ayla. That there's a b'yayir ha'ayla, there's a creator of the world. And that's the way to teach, is by going down to the level of the child. And entering into the child's way of thinking. And that's what we have to do with ourselves. We think that we're so sophisticated because our brains are already 20, 30, 40 years old, 50 years old. The brain is already old. So we look at ourselves as being so sophisticated. The heart is completely, completely unsophisticated, simple and untouched. And in order for the heart to be able to receive, we learned earlier in the Sefer, it has to be in the language of the Neshama. The language of the Neshama is Aleph Beis, is Tarit Sivil and Amayish, it's Yesh Boi Ve'Olam. It's Ashrein Matayv Chalkeinu Manoim Gerolein. It's hearing a niggin. It's hearing a niggin. Hearing uplifting niggin. That's the language of the Neshama. And no matter how old you are, if you haven't heard the language of the Neshama, you're a parakeet that just repeats over stuff with the seichel. With the cup in the mouth, but doesn't have any bearing upon who you are inside of you. Therefore, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the inyan of Sofen Beiruch, you know, to go, the minig is for the children, they're different in Hagen. Parents look for Afikayim, father looks for Afikayim, the kid looks for Afikayim. Rav Moshe Leib Sassov has said that the minig of the child going looking for the Afikayim means that you break the matzah in half, right? And the bigger part you hide, and the child goes to look for it, if that's the minig. Right? The bigger part, the child goes to look for it. Rav Moshe Leib Sassov has said that the bigger part of who we are is the biggest part of me is not my guf, it's my neshama, it's my pnimius. And the only one that can find that is the child. You understand? That's where the child goes looking for the larger piece of the matzah. The smaller piece of the matzah is what is my seichel. The larger piece of the matzah is my neshama. Who looks for that? The child. That's what the children look for, the afikaimen, not the adults. I mean, the minig, but the children chab, the children go to look, because the child inside of us is looking for the bigger part of who we are that got buried someplace underneath formulas and all kinds of mishnayos and fancy things. But the child is looking for that bigger part. That's the inyan of Pesach night. Not just the emunah for the children, but the emunah for the adults as well. No, Be'ez Hashem Shetakevi. We should be zeichet not only to be mekayim the mitzvahs, bepoil, but we should be mekayim that the mitzvahs should change us, and we should be pickled in kashrut Pesach chaimetz. They make kashrut Pesach vinegar, right? So you can have, so you can get everything kashrut Pesach. They have kashrut, I was in the store, they had kashrut Pesach pizza. They have next year is going to be kashrut Pesach chametz. That's what help makes chametz kashrut Pesach. We should be zeich to be it should be a taka kashrut Pesach and a freilich and lichtig and yantiv.